Let's stand together. Father, I want to thank you that we stand under an open heaven this morning. And Father, we believe that the entrance of your word brings light. And Father, as we receive your word, let it shine in us and through us for your glory. Father, I want to thank you that you're going to, through your word, help us to nail things, sort things, find release, freedom, strength. Father, we want to thank you that your word is light. Hallelujah. We want to thank you that as we come under the sound of your word, Father, speak into our very now and prepare us for our tomorrows. Father, I want to thank you that your word is going to bring tremendous liberty, sharper than a two-edged sword. And Father, we receive, Father, that word in our spirit, in our minds, in our hearts, in our bodies. We want to thank you that word is going to release life and health and vitality into our soul. It's going to bring strength into our mind. And it's going to bring healing into our bodies. And this we know we can ask. And because we know you hear us, we know we have the things that we ask for. In Jesus' wonderful and mighty name. And everybody said, amen. As you're sitting down, just say hi to the people next to you. And glad that they came. And they look fab this morning. Actually, it's afternoon now. I apologize. Well, we've been having such a tremendous few weeks in God. How many of you have been here the last few Sundays? And how many of you know that really God has been arising? It's great, isn't it? Have you noticed the difference? Thank you. Have you noticed the difference? Excellent. Do you know why we need to let God arise? It's not just so that God looks bigger. It's so that we look bigger. James, you all right there? If he coughs again, slap him, all right? It's that we let God arise so that God is bigger, but also that we look bigger. How fantastic is that? Thank you for your encouragement. Just shake yourself. Tell your face to come alive. Hallelujah. We're just going to look at... We're just going to look at a few scriptures, and first one is in the book of Hebrews. That's someone that made a lot of tea in the New Testament. Hebrews, okay, chapter 6, we're just going to look there very quickly. And as we let God arise, some strange things happen. One of those things that happens is that as we let God arise in our now, God becomes like an anchor or a point of stability in God. How many of you have wandered around places, maybe old museums, maritime museums, Portsmouth have a load of these, some more naval-based in their history places have old anchors kicking around. Do you know what I mean? Huge things. Some are like 15, 20 foot high. This anchor represents stability, doesn't it? Is this too hard, too complicated? I am speaking the right language, am I? Anybody here speak English? Okay. An anchor represents a point of tremendous stability. It also is when our life seems to be dragging along, we put an anchor out and we'll get attached to something which will hold us and be a safety net, if you like, to stop our lives getting dragged over the edge of something or into something or somewhere we don't want to go. It's an anchor. It's not butter. So I'm not talking about butter, all right? I'm talking about an anchor. Something deliberately put in the ground, which is going to bring tremendous stability to our lives. Amen. Who said amen? Come on, Mike. Let's go for it. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17, it says, because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs, this isn't talking about your head. It's not about the hairs on your head. It's about you and I being a succession of God's sons. It's about you and I as Christians, and if you know Jesus Christ here, some of you may not, so I'll just explain it. If you know Christ as your own Lord, then you've got an inheritance which Jesus brought you when he saved you. It's a heavenly wealth, resource, and a supply which will never run out, fall out, or wear out. Hallelujah. We're heirs. And like in the natural sense, to become an heir, someone has to die. Well, as a Christian, we believe Jesus died. But we also know that Jesus rose again. And he now reigns with God in glory. So we are heirs. More than just the hairs on our head. We're heirs to a kingdom. His purpose was that the heirs would receive what is promised. And he confirmed it with an oath. Now, we're not going to look at that. We could preach on that for ages. It's verse 19. We have this hope as an anchor for our soul. Tell that person next to you, I've got an anchor for my soul. I've got an anchor for my soul. What does that mean? Life's hard, isn't it? Have you noticed that? Life's tough. Have you noticed that? Things don't always go how we think they should. Things don't always go how we want them to. Or maybe that's just me. Maybe you're all perfected. Maybe you all live in a glass bar. I don't know. Maybe you don't go outside. But in my reality, life is not how I want it or even desire it to be. Is that, would that be the same for most of us? Some things just happen. It's like, how did that happen? Why did that happen? Sometimes our young people don't behave like we would when we were that age. And what I found with my youngsters, and they're all mostly bigger than me now, is when I say, why do you do that? They remind me of how I was when I was their age. So I normally shut down quick, all right? But there is something in God that becomes a stabilizing force into our lives as Christians. Isn't that good? An anchor. Look at that person next to you and say, you're an anchor. You're stable. Come on, believe it. You're stable. Now, when we say that as Christians, you're stable, the person we're actually talking to may not be you or me, but it's the person who lives in us today. We're just going to look at another scripture here. We looked at this earlier this morning, and we had a great time this morning. There's lots of things happening. We're going to have a great time now. I refuse not to have a great time. You can either enter it, or you can watch it, or you can leave. But I'm going to have a great time. But if God has got you and me here to have a great time, hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's just turn there together. This is going to go somewhere. Just stay tuned in, all right? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We find a tremendous, really a reality check from Paul the Apostle in verse 7. Let's just read this together, shall we? Together means all at once at the same time. Is that all right? But we have. Thank you, three of you. Emily, you got a Bible? Okay, just show us your Bible. Okay, that's it. In the Bible, we believe as Christians that God's already said everything. And if you really want to know what God thinks about you, buy a Bible and read it. If you want to know whether God's real, buy a Bible, read it, and you'll find it makes sense today. Does that make sense? The Bible is not the history of God. It's the history of earth. And when we read it, we find God's got something to say today. Even though this was written a long time ago, it's still real and relevant today. Hallelujah. We believe it's the living word of God, don't we? The word breathed through men. It says here, we have this treasure. Look at that person next to you and say, you have a treasure. Now, if you're married to someone sitting next to you, you might have thought they were a treasure already. You may not. We do a great marriage ministry course here. It's really powerful. It's really effective. Hallelujah. But what God says in his word is that inside of our lives as Christians, we have a tremendous treasure. But this treasure in this context is not just to bring us worth and value. It does that. But as we go on to read this, it says some very key things. This shows, or it demonstrates to you and to me, that we have an all-surpassing power. Say that little verse with me. All-surpassing power. All-surpassing power. One of the things that this means is that whatever the all is, this power is more than it. Whatever the issue is, this power is greater than it. Whatever the hindrance might be, this power is more than enough than it. What it means is whatever the lack may be, this power has more than enough to meet that lack. It's not just the same as the need, or the same as a lack, or the same as the difficulty. It's more than. That's what it means, all surpassing. It also means that any lack, any situation, God has an answer for it. So in other words, yes, we've got an anchor, but this anchor isn't just when we're in trouble. This anchor is to help us in life. How many of you know that we need to have help in life? What we may not realize, or what we may need to be reminded of, is that our life was made to have an anchor in it. Our life was designed to have an anchor, a point of contact to someone who never changes. Well, that's fantastic, isn't it? We're just going to read a few more of this bits of scripture. This all-surpassing power is from... Claire, speak up. I can't hear you. This all is from God. Now, if you might be suffering from dyslexia, and we've seen hundreds of people heal from that, you might say that you believe in dog. But this is God. You missed that one as well. If there's anybody here that has dyslexia, we can pray for you and God will heal you. We've seen it loads of times. I remember we had loads of people at the Bible school, and they were having real trouble like the Old Testament. I mean, who doesn't? But they were just having real trouble like little simple words. And when we chatted with them, they actually had this dyslexia. They just couldn't realize that word was there, that word was there. And we just prayed with them and encouraged them to listen to the Bible on tape. All right? And just as they began to listen to it and just began to write down or speak out what they were hearing, God began to heal them. How exciting is that? Because the word of life, it says it restores our soul. You've got an anchor, and I as a Christian have got an anchor in my life that wants to restore my soul. Oh, hallelujah. I love the word of God. It says we have this all-surpassing power from God and not from us. Verse 8, some of you might identify with this. We are hard-pressed. How many of you identify a little bit with that? Come on, be honest. We're hard-pressed. Oh, life's having a go. It's trying to make us this shape, that person, go in this direction, do that thing. But that isn't a statement. It's part of a phrase. That's not a full stop there. We are hard-pressed. It's a comma. It's not we are hard-pressed and oh, poor old us, we're going to get crushed. It's a comma. It says we are hard-pressed but not crushed. You're a but not person. There's a but not person who lives in you. If you know Jesus, he's come to live in you. And he says, but not. You might be having a tough time. You might have been having physical conditions or financial stuff. Or you might just be having problems. You might feel really like the world is trying to press you. But there's someone inside of you who is pressing out of you more than is pressing in with you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Oh, hallelujah. The great thing about the Holy Spirit is he will never just bring us to a point of peace, but always through to a point of victory. When we became saved, we had peace with God and peace with each other, but God wants us to live with a point, peace of into victory, breakthrough, release. What God has given us by his Spirit through his word is a greater pressure. You've got someone with a greater pressure in you than there is trying to press against you. Which is why we can say, well, yeah, we're having a tough old time. Things maybe not going how we think they should be. They might not even be going how we thought God said they'd be. But there's someone in our lives that will say, but not. You might be having a tough old time, but God will not allow us to be crushed. Oh, hallelujah. I love that. It's not like one of these Coke cans. You empty it down and you can crush it. How many of you have done that? Diet Coke, probably. Iron Brew, made of girders. John Taylor's had iron brew because he comes from a different country. But you see, we're not just Coke cans that are going to get crushed. If you've got God on the inside of you, it's like having concrete inside. Doesn't taste as good. But what it means is that there is someone who lives in you and in me who will refuse to be crushed. And again, as we've been reminded through all these people that have been speaking to us, and I'm sure we'll continue to, is let God arise. Part of that is that we have to recognize we may be having a tough old time, but right in the middle of it, I'm still going to win. I may be having loads of stuff happening that shouldn't be happening. I may be having loads of things coming upon my life which, man, I just don't know whether they're from God or not. But at the end, when all is done, when we've done everything, there's someone on the inside of you that will not allow you to be crushed. Hallelujah. Let's go read on to this next part of this scripture here. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. Perplexed is, well, I don't know what to do. In despair is, I've done everything and nothing works. How many of you know sometimes you don't know how to do what you're supposed to do? We don't know what we're supposed to say. We don't know how it's going to work out. We don't know what we're supposed to go and get. And sometimes we can try stuff in our lives and it just goes, it just doesn't work. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm talking a reality here, but inside of you and in my heart, hallelujah, is someone, this all-surpassing power, which will never leave us desperate. Never ever, as a Christian, can we say, well, I'm desperate. I think sometimes maybe we've got to get a bit more desperate. God, come and help. I found in my own experience of God, that's normally the quickest way to get help is, God, help me. Maybe for some of you, that's really what we need to do. God, just come and help. We can try and work stuff out, work stuff through, can't we? But ultimately, God has got the way. Are you getting a bit warm? I'm getting really warm up here. Should have brought some factor 50. Hallelujah. And it goes on, we're persecuted. But not, say but not. Again, another but not. There are two purses that you'll find in your Bible. One is persecution, the other's perseverance. And they both tend to travel together. Let me tell you something I found, and I believe as Christians you'll bear witness to this, is that we don't really know how much we can overcome until we have to. We don't really know how much God can help us to win until we have to. Or is that just me? Anybody else know what I'm talking about? Well, the word here declares into our lives, and I believe this is true for all of us today, but God wants to affirm it in our hearts, is that sometimes when we're feeling a bit persecuted, we can feel as if we're on our own. It's only me, or people don't understand me, or people don't know where I've coming from, or people don't know where I'm going. But the word declares to us, and we need to be reminded, we're not abandoned. We might be having a tough old time, but there's someone tougher in it with us. Hallelujah. I'm just going to keep preaching till you smile. If you think you're hard, so am I. Turn to another scripture, shall we? How many of you really want to live not just with the possibility of victory, but with an increasing reality of it? How many of you want to live not just without a hope of getting through it all, but with a sense of certainty that you will? In other words, how many of you want to live like you've got an anchor rather than you're trying to find one? Okay. Very simple. How many of you would like to know how to do this? No, not enough of you. You'll have to come back again. How many of you would like to know how to do this? Okay. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It's easy to find. It's near 2 Thessalonians. It's on page 999 in my Bible. And we're just going to have a look there for a few minutes. We need to finish on time because Lewis Hamilton is in pole position. And just to make sure that I finished on time at the first service, they set the fire alarm off at 11 o'clock. I could not believe it. I thought, well, the fire is somewhere anyway. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. It's just I thought when the fire was around, you ran into it, not away from it. But hey, I learn new stuff every day. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Now, we may have read this 1,000 times, and maybe that's the problem. Be joyful. Not do joyful. Sometimes when we're getting hard-pressed, sometimes when we're getting perplexed, sometimes when we're feeling a bit what's going on, sometimes we just walk around with a cheesy grin on our face. Or we try to. Maybe that's just me. But actually it doesn't say do joyful, it says be joyful. Hello, Sam. Sam's on the camera. Bless him. Hey, Sam. Give us a wave. Thank you. The word says be joyful. What does it mean? It means within you is a being who is joyful. Be joyful is an attitude. It's a state of heart. Is this making some sense? What it doesn't mean is that we've got to go and get totally bladdered to be happy. Am I allowed to say bladdered in church? I've said it twice now. What it means is that this anchor, this all-surpassing power comes with joy. Within you and within me as Christians is a tremendous force or an energy of joy which will refuse to keep you miserable too long. What it means is there's a power, a strength, or a aspect of the energy of God that will refuse you to have a face like you've been sucking lemons for too long. What it means is there's someone in you who for the joy set before him will even put up with us. Oh, thanks be to God. It means there's someone inside of us who right in the middle of our tribulation maybe, or even of our breakthrough, he is still our anchor. Be joyful. There's a choice every minute of every day. You can make a decision. I'm going to be joyful or I'm not going to be joyful. Now, what it doesn't mean is that in that decision, something is going to come into your life. That decision releases the power out of your life. Let God arise. How do we do that? Well, today's Monday or Tuesday, or I don't like Mondays, but I'm going to be joyful anyway. I'm going to let joy lead my day. I'm going to refuse to let anything spoil it, squash it, or move it. I'm going to use that joy of knowing Jesus to be a greater pressure in me than that which is on the outside of me. So I'm going to be joyful. It's a choice. Oh, hallelujah. So many people come up to me and say, why are you so happy? I normally say, why not? I said it when I'll stop being happy, when Jesus abdicates. Verse 17, pray continually. If we want to live with a trend of victory and breakthrough, not just a theory, not just an unreached reality, but we can touch it and live in it, is I want to be joyful in my asking. I'm just going to be joyful in my asking because I know when I ask, an answer's on its way. And maybe some of us, I don't know, maybe some of us just need to spend a little less time talking out the problem and start talking in the answer. I don't know. But certainly when we get impressed and discouraged, it becomes such a force or such a personal thing in front of us. Sometimes we just talk about what we see the most, don't we? I certainly do. But what this word is saying is, no, be joyful. Pray continually. I believe part of letting God arise is that we become people who are praying continually. What I believe that means is that we're constantly getting answers. In the workplace, in the home, with our family members, You see, I happen to believe that when we know that what this anchor is, we can step out into the unknown waters and still be attached to where we know. Maybe some of us need to do that. I don't know. But what I do know is that there is a breakthrough for everybody here this morning. Except now it's this afternoon. So God wants to have a breakthrough out of your life, out of my life today. Because he will not abandon us or let us get crushed in any way. Thanks be to God. Does anybody say amen? It says, give thanks in all. Say all. All circumstances means entirely what it says on the tin. This is a Ronseal word. You see, you know what Ronseal is. It does what it says on the tin. Doesn't it? Don't be so spiritual. You use Ronseal. You know what it is. What this is saying is, it'll do what it says on the tin. As we begin to give thanks in all circumstances, it brings us into greater victories. Come on, you've all said you want to live with more in victory. I'm trying to show you how to do it day to day. Be a someone who just decides to give thanks. Now, what the pressure can be is, well, you don't know the situation I'm in. No, you're absolutely right. 10 out of 10. Excellent. But I do know the answer. Well, you don't know what I've been through. Absolutely right. But I still know the answer. And even though God doesn't take us back where we've been, he wants to take us where we haven't been. Some of us have just got to let the old go. And give thanks for the new. Hallelujah. It says here, as we do that, it goes on in verse 23. Let's look at verse 23, because for me this is a key. It's great to have keys, isn't it? They open up things. Don't they? How do you get in your house? Through the window. Well, maybe you do. Maybe you get in somebody else's house through the window. I don't know. But for me, you normally go with a key. Even if it's a digital one, or you use your eye, or whatever it is. You know, you take your eye out, it's a key in the door. I don't know, but we use a key. Here's a key. Key is this, verse 23. God himself, say God himself. God hasn't sent you into the world to deal with it on your own. God hasn't sent us as church to try and be what we're supposed to be on our own. God hasn't sent you into the place where you work on your own to try and make something work. But it says God himself. I love it. That our God is the only God who comes himself. No other faith but ours has a living God at the middle of it. Every other faith has a dead God. So how could a dead God go anywhere? My God is alive. My Jesus lives. God comes himself in our day to day to change us. Spirit, the inner side, soul and body, the outside. I believe that as we develop, and it's a choice, we need to decide to do this maybe, is I'm just going to be joyful. I'm not going to let anything on the outside of my life determine my attitude. But in my attitude, I'm going to start changing people around me. Have you noticed that when there's someone that's a bit funny and a bit light, people want to be around them? Have you maybe noticed why people aren't around us? Maybe we need to lighten up a bit, smile a bit more, be a bit more positive. You might be thinking, oh, well, this is all management speak. Yeah, if you like, it's called God's management speak. Be joyful. Pray continuously. And give thanks to God. How many of you as a Christian really want to know what God's will is for you? Just put your hand up so I can see. Come on, it's okay. Don't be embarrassed. Sorry, Carol, am I keeping you up? I'll be finished in a minute, all right. Just put your hands up if you really want to know what God's will is for you. Let's all stand up then, shall we? We're about to enter into God's will. Are you ready? Two of us are ready. Are you ready to enter into God's will? Are you ready to make use of the anchor? Are you ready to push back a little bit of what might be pushing at you? You ready? Are you ready to begin to step into something new through what may be holding you back? Are you ready? Do you want to know how to do that? Start giving thanks. Right now, right where you are. Just begin to give thanks. The word says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Just use your own mouth, your own words. Just thank God for where you are right now. You might be having a really bad time, but let me tell you, God will not abandon you. He will not leave you. He's there with you. His power is at work in your life if you know him. His power is going to bring you right through to the other side to a point of breakthrough, of victory. Give thanks right now where you might have severe lack around you. Well, God is going to meet that need more than enough. You might have some infirmity in your body. Well, the but now, hallelujah, is going to be stronger than that infirmity. The power of God is going to come and arise in his health, in his vitality, in his energy. Hallelujah. Can I burn up your mouth? You can have your own breakthrough now. Don't just enjoy mine. You just thank the Lord in your own words, in your own mouth. Thank God that he's living in you. Thank God that he's the anchor of your soul. Thank God that he's come, that you will not be crushed. You will not be in desperate states and stay there. You will not be abandoned ever, because God's presence has come and he will never take it back. You might be having difficulties, but it's not a full stop, it's a comma. God is going to rise and lift you up out of those difficulties sometime. If it's not today, it'll be tomorrow. If it's not tomorrow, it'll be the next day, because we are successors. We're heirs. We're going up, not down. We're going over, not under. Hallelujah. He that is in you and me is greater than he that is in the world. Today, it's a reality. It's a truth. And I want to thank God for it. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father, I want to thank you right now for every person under the sound of my voice. Father, let your spirit bring the revelation of this truth afresh into our hearts. Father, I want to thank you for everyone that maybe doesn't know you that's here. Father, bring them into the knowledge of you as their savior, as their anchor, as the one who won't abandon them at any time, as the one that has an answer for every question, as the one that can lift them up out of every pit. Father, I thank you right now, those watching on the stream, over nations, Father, right now, by your spirit, Father, I thank you that you minister into their need right now in Jesus' name. Father, I want to thank you that you come in your power and in your love, and you bear witness to this word in their lives. Father, I want to thank you that you're going to create a people of joy, of prayer, of thanksgiving, and a people of victory. Just tell those people around you, you're a victory waiting to happen. You're just a victory waiting to happen. I want to make sure you tell a few people, come on, do it with a smile on your face. I'll tell you what, when Lewis Hamilton wins the Grand Prix today, I'm going to be full of victory. Hallelujah. I'm going to express it too, but I'm going to wait for that. Jesus is my winner today. He's my Formula One. Hallelujah. Are you having a nice time? Hey, Curtis, how are you? Just come out here a minute, mate. How you doing?
I worked last night. So
did you really?
Hours sleep,
so. Okay.
I'll stand here.
Yeah, please do. Now, question.
Yes.
Not for you, for them. Does he look miserable? Does he look as if fat? I never said that. Stop putting words in my mouth. Just because you're bigger than me, I'll still have you. Does he look worn out? He's only had 3 hours sleep. Why? Why does he look joyful? Because he knows the joy of Jesus in him. Why doesn't he look tired? Because circumstantially he should be, but there's one in him greater than his tiredness. Yes. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. It's got nothing to do with his stature. It's got something to do with his stature. God's stature. Do you understand what I'm saying here? I'm glad that you're standing down there. Let's just reach out your hands and pray for Curtis. Now, I'm doing this representatively, okay? Because there's others of you that might be feeling a bit weary. Weird, I was going to say. Maybe you're feeling weird too. I don't know. Maybe there's some people here just feeling a bit weary, a bit jaded. like you've lost your head somehow, like you're a bit tired. Well, let me tell you something. As we pray and give into Curtis, you're going to receive. God will not allow you to get overtired. He will not allow you to get overburdened because the but not lives in you. He won't allow fatigue to steal the joy from you. He won't allow tiredness to rob answers from you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because he that is in you is greater. Let's just reach out your hands. And those of you that you need to be restored or refreshed in any way, you're about to get it, okay? Because the kingdom principle is when you sow, you reap. When you give, you get given back. Father, I want to thank you right now that you are alive in Curtis's life. Father, like you're alive in all of our lives when we know you. Father, I thank you for tremendous strength, vitality that you will restore where there's any lack in the body in any way through sleep. Father, I want to thank you that the but not is greater than the have not. Father, I want to thank you that the will do is stronger than the can't do. Father, I want to thank you for everyone under the sound of my voice. You have become the anchor of our soul. You have become the one who will not abandon us. You have become the one who restores us in every way. Father, we give you the praise. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you've done. We thank you for what you're going to do in this life and in our lives. And we refuse to go under. We refuse to fail. We refuse to stand in defeat any longer. But we're going to arise in our place. We're going to arise into our victory. We're going to arise into our breakthrough today and every other day in the wonderful, mighty, living, powerful name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Let's thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Thanks, mate. Amen. Oh. Now, something was happening there. Did you feel something rising up in you? Front row did. Gary and I did. Rest of you, we'll pray for you afterwards. Now, it might be that some of you that have come here, you might have come with friends, you might have just come because, you know, we're shoving the Grand Prix, whatever. But it might be that some of you have come and it's like, who is this Jesus? It might just be a name to you. It might just be a building to you. It might just be anything to you. Well, Jesus isn't an anything or an anywhere. He's a someone. And if you'd like to know more about this someone, let me just tell you two things. A, he really wants to know more about you. And in one sense, he knows everything about everybody, but he wants to know about you personally. And the second thing is, if you want to know about Jesus today, then come and speak to any of us on the front today. All right, we'd love to pray with you. We'd love to talk with you. Personally, I believe that humanity was never designed to live without Jesus in them. So wherever you've come from, whoever you've come with, they'll give you a bit of time if you want to come and chat. We'd love to be able to do that with you, pray with you. The Grand Prix is starting in 4 minutes. For those of you that really want to see it, it's starting in 4 minutes for those of you that really don't want to see it. Have you had a good time? Have you enjoyed yourself? I love these times together. Aren't they fab? So at the first service, they shut me up with a bell. On this one, they shut me up with the Grand Prix, all right? Have a great afternoon. Life group leaders, we're meeting up this week if you know, but keep letting God arise. Make these choices. Give thanks. Enter into asking and believing and rejoice, and you will see God arise. Have a great week. See you next week. God bless.